Welcome to the Production Talk podcast with me, Jan of mixartist.com.au. In this podcast series, we celebrate the modern way of producing music. We want to talk about all things related to songwriting, recording at home, and music production. So if you produce your music at home, this is the place to be. Please subscribe and recommend this podcast to all your friends. This is the Production Talk podcast, episode 64. Welcome back to another episode of the Production Talk podcast. At the beginning of this episode, as always, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the country that I'm recording this interview on today, the Arakwal people of the Bundjalung Nation, and I would like to express my thanks and gratitude and respect to elders past, present, and emerging. With us today are two phenomenal musicians from the Northern Rivers. With us is Felicity Lawless and Eleanor Marchigot. Welcome on board. How are you today?
Excellent, thank you. How are you going?
I'm going really well.
Hi, Jan.
Hey, Eleanor. It's been a while. I'm just trying to think about how long it's been since I've seen you both. So, Eleanor, I think maybe a year or two, but Felicity, I think it must have been 2019 or so, or have we seen each other since? I'm not entirely sure. Help me out, please. It's been a while, isn't it?
I feel like I saw you last time at the Billy Nudgell Hotel doing sound for some afternoon.
That was a fantastic show that you played there. Yes, that was definitely a show that I remember. That would have been February 2019 then, so it's been a while. Everything is different since. So how have you been since? How did you get through the COVID years?
Yeah, look, I hadn't had a holiday for a while, so it was nice to have a bit of a break. Yeah, definitely missed playing shows, but also just really loved the time. I have been doing some big missions on some classical and flamenco pieces, which takes a lot of time. So it was cool to have, yeah, more time just to play the guitar before just playing.
Excellent. Mm. So you use the COVID times to literally practice your skills.
Yeah. Yeah. And
very
relax.
Good. That's great to hear. Yeah. Excellent. The best way to use the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what about you, Eleanor?
Yes, I definitely also missed a bit the shows during the COVID time, particularly full band shows. They just disappeared like flies in the air. but yeah, it was a good time to compose and start new collaborations. Particularly with Felicity, we've actually composed a few songs during that period. So
excellent.
It was less performative and more creative in a way.
And practically speaking, were you able to see each other during the lockdown periods, or did you collaborate remotely?
No, we lived together, so it was very easy to. That's why we started collaborating even more than before.
Yes.
Perfect. Perfect. So pretty much a musical powerhouse.
Yeah.
That's really nice. Cool.
And no access to our other projects. So we played with each other more, which turned out to be a great thing.
Excellent. And Felicity, can you please introduce the rest of your band? What other musicians do you collaborate with?
Okay. With my band and on my albums, I've collaborated with Scotty French, Jeff Green, and Regitron Lair from the Gold Coast. So Scotty runs his own recording studios at Love Street. And, Jeff is really well known as a drummer from George. They're amazing. And then, yeah, really, like Eleanor said, when, like, everything went weird, I just really started playing more solo duos with Eleanor, who goes by the name Miscellaneous. The Felicity Lawless and Miscellaneous thing, and then with Black Rabbit George as well, which is more of a guitar show. So
yes,
yeah,
and
that's who I'm collaborating with.
That brings us to your latest single. Your single Zarma, is that, if I pronounce this correctly, is that a
yes,
collaboration?
Yes.
Yeah,
correct.
It's phenomenal guitar work. So that is really, really outstanding. Tell us more about that. So you play guitar, you sing. Do you play any other instruments?
I play piano and drums, but at the moment I really just play a lot of guitar.
Lovely.
But yeah, on that is a collaboration with Black Rabbit George, Paulie George, and it's mainly just guitar. It's where we get just to play our guitars, and I'm playing cajon on it as well. So there's no vocals. It's just purely instrumental, which was something we were both pretty excited to do.
Nice. It sounds absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you.
It must have been a bit of a piece to produce and record. That's, you know, really a complex musicianship.
Yeah, well, we did it quite quickly, actually. Yeah.
Oh, you did it quickly? I wouldn't have guessed so.
Yeah.
Tell us more about the circumstances. You know, where did you record it? How long did you work on the songwriting? How did the song come together?
Well, Black Rabbit George recorded it, who's the other performer on it. And yeah, we basically just got our favourite microphones and our favourite guitars and, recorded it to sound much like it would live, but I did play in the cajon parts later, and there was obviously a few little overdubs of guitars, but we tried to keep the sound, the live sound of like that jammy sort of guitar thing happening, and basically we just picked our favourite songs of our own. And then we wrote two songs together or three songs together for it. But, yeah, then we had sort of separate songs each that the other one played on.
Okay. Are you suggesting that there are more songs to come? I'm trying to read between the lines here.
Yeah, there's a whole album. Yeah, there's seven tracks. So we're selling the albums as CDs at our shows at the moment, and we've just released Sama. But, the second single will come out probably December, January.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. Look, please let me know. I'll put it in the show notes. And, you know, whenever you have a new release, let me know. I'll put it in the Production Talk podcast community on Facebook. Happy to make some noise
Great.
There for you,
Thank
of course.
You.
Elena, over to you. Tell us about your musical career and the instruments you play.
Well, yeah, my career started quite young, when I was 10, with the clarinet. It was my first baby. And, I was classically trained originally. So up until I was probably 23 or 24, I was just doing classical, playing in orchestras, teaching and doing that live. And then I decided to expand a bit my horizons. And I got a saxophone and started playing in several like types of bands, from reggae to world music to tango to doing music for theater. So basically anything that would come up and I would find interesting. And when I moved to Australia 12 years ago for about 5 years, I had my own project when I was living in Sydney. It was a reggae band at the time called Travellers. It doesn't exist anymore. And then I moved up to the Northern Rivers, and since then I've had the honor to collaborate with really, really good artists. Felicity, obviously, is one of them, I would say the main one at the moment. But I also play with Sky Eater, Jesse Morris Band. Recently, I've recorded a couple of singles with Psy Galaxy, which is more like electronic music. Meninas de Lua, Batala, Hayley Grace, and I think I'm missing more.
Okay.
We actually both recorded. We both collaborated just recently with a Gold Coast singer, Katie Hu, as well, which was pretty magic. And that's going to be coming out, I imagine, before the end of the year.
Lovely.
And that was pretty cool.
Again, please keep me posted. Mm. I'd love to check it out. You said you play the clarinet. And did I miss any other instruments there?
Yeah, clarinet, saxophone, tenor and alto. And flute as well.
Flute as well.
It's a recent one.
Nice.
And that's the latest one. And I collaborate with backing vocals as well.
Of course, of course.
And the egg. Let's not forget the egg. That's the hardest one of them all.
Sorry, which was that?
The egg.
The egg shaker, of course. Yeah, such a simple...
That's the hardest one.
It is, isn't it? Isn't it? It seems so easy for everybody, but there are few people who do it well. And they are, you know, sometimes few and far
between. Trickier than it looks.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Lovely. Elena, we've worked together in the studio before, and I noticed you as, you know, this big ray of sunshine every time you come through the studio door, and you always nail your takes. And we recorded so many different songs for Jesse and so on. And I remember that we worked particularly quick most of the time. It was never a painful process with you.
Same.
That is rare. It's rare. What's the secret? What's the secret? You know, a lot of people have a fairly frustrating experience in the studio. What do you do differently?
Well, I guess, you know, be slightly prepared. So, you know the track that you're going to record. But also being in the moment. Don't overthink. And yeah, try to be present. Focus on always on the breath and on the magic of that specific moment, and be confident that whatever comes out is going to be the best that you can ever do.
Okay, so it's a mindset thing.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, and do you find it difficult sometimes to block out, you know, all the things that occupy our minds usually, you know, the busy life that we have outside the studio, you know, to switch into creative mode? Is that something that comes easily to you?
But yeah, mostly sometimes. Sometimes I overdo, buzzing around and, you know, doing life and playing and seeing friends, etc., etc. But I find my peace, a lot of it through, you know, yoga, meditation, being in touch with nature. And recently I'm learning how to actually be able to stop and to listen and to rest. So create from a space of stillness and silence as well. And Felicity's been a good master in this realm. Good teacher.
Well, Elena has this impeccable ability, like a switch, that when she's playing music or if she's doing any task, she just goes bleep and then just focuses on it entirely. It's quite amazing to watch, especially for someone like me that likes to do 10 million things at once. She's just like,
that is a really good skill to have, especially these days. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that explains. That explains. I want to steer back a little bit. Felicity, you mentioned that you picked your favorite microphones. I just can't help myself. I need to dig a little bit deeper there. Are you happy to share with us what your favorite microphones are for the acoustic guitar?
Now, I'm so bad with these things, but I just have we just did one single microphone on each guitar. Because we have really beautiful guitars and we wanted a really clean sound. So I just used a Sennheiser MK8, and I imagine Paul used a Neumann, probably the most fancy kind of guitar mic you could get, I would say.
All right. I wouldn't have picked that because, you know, obviously Neumann microphones, they've got a big reputation to be, you know, the most expensive and among the best sounding ones. And Sennheiser, interestingly, they actually own Neumann. Neumann is part of the Sennheiser family.
Well, that's what I found out when I bought my Sennheiser, that they have, I think, the same diaphragm or something. So
yeah, right.
I don't know, it seemed, but yeah, have a listen. Yeah, so I did all my guitar parts with my microphone and he did all his with his. And yeah, there's definitely a different sound, but we do have a different sound anyway because I'm playing more of the warmer stuff, some rhythm stuff, some lead, but I'm going for a warmer tone, whereas he goes to really cut through sharp and very clean.
The sharp right tone. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so we are going for a bit of tone. So, but also, yeah, I mean, that did the job. The MK8, I was quite happy with the sound of my guitar.
I've used the MK8 myself, and now when I first looked at it and looked at the price tag, I assumed that, you know, Sennheiser now venture off into the budget market and it would be a budget microphone and sound like one. But when I closed my eyes and listened, I didn't get that impression at all. So it actually is a very detailed, beautiful microphone. So
I think it's very simple, beautiful. Yeah, just gets a clean sound. And
yep,
if you've got a beautiful instrument, that's really all you need, I think.
I guess so, yeah. Once you've got a beautiful guitar, it almost doesn't matter, you know, how you place a microphone, or even a cheaper microphone will still sound phenomenal if you've got an amazing instrument. Tell us more about your guitar then.
I have a beautiful guitar. I'm completely in love with it. It was made by a guy called Strato Anagnostis, who is in Toronto, just north of Sydney, like Newcastle area. And what I just love about it, he made two guitars for me and actually one for Paul as well, Black Rabbit. And he used that for many, many, many years. He's not using it now. And he hand makes them, and he's in love with flamenco and classical and all sorts of like kind of nylon strings predominantly, but he does steels as well. But he's really kind of, yeah, there's not a lot going on with nylon handmade guitars in Australia that aren't just, you know, crazy expensive. And he makes lots of really beautiful ones using some Spanish woods, and yeah, he's a real Zen master, like leaves little faults in the wood so you can see that where it's been human made, and just kind of intuitively picked up, like listened to some of my music, but really, like, I asked for a traditional flamenco guitar, but he's given me something that's quite a lot bassier and warmer, which at first I was like, what, this is not a flamenco guitar, but it is. It's just got that extra bass in it, which is great because I often finger pick bass strings and bass lines while I'm playing, and because I am playing a lot of rhythm and singing with it, I'm not using it, you know, exactly just as a pure flamenco or something. I'm using it in a more kind of poppy way, I guess.
I see. Lovely. Eleanor, what about your collection of instruments? You mentioned you've got saxophones. Can you explain what instruments you have, and, you know, what you like about them, why you picked them?
Yeah, well, my clarinet is a Buffet, Crampon, so it's a French brand, probably the most famous for clarinets. And I've had it for a very long time, actually, for about 23 years.
Wow.
So that says a lot, yeah, on the quality of the instrument. And because it's wood, it kind of absorbs the personality of the person that is playing it. It's and it's been well looked after as well. So, you know, serviced and kept away from really cold and warm weathers, etc. So that's one of the babies. And the saxophones, my tenor, which is the one I play the most with the bands, is a Yamaha. It's a YT series. So, and it's silver. That's I really enjoy that. The color is different from a lot of other saxophones, and it's quite, I enjoy the sound of it. It's quite sharp and really good for funk and reggae. It cuts through quite a lot. And I've had it for about, I think, probably 5 years. And I also have an alto sax, which I use mostly to teach. And that's just a study Yamaha, nothing too fancy. And my flute is, I think it's a Korean brand. I can't even remember the name exactly right now. But again, it's a study level instrument. Yeah, so they're all different. I love all of them.
Your babies.
And it's quite addictive. I want more. I want more. My next one will probably be a bass clarinet. I really love
The
sound of that instrument. It's, it's really, really special. And I think it will go really well with flamenco and with gypsy music. So, yeah, but it is a bit of an expensive baby. So let's see when that one is going to come. I'm working on it.
Okay. Sure. And through all the years that you've recorded in studios, have you developed some kind of a favorite microphone or microphone technique or placement to record the clarinet or the saxophone or the flute? Any preferences?
When I record, I totally trust the producer. And so far, I've been lucky enough to work with really great producers. You are one of them. So it's been great working with you. The results have always been outstanding. The only really bad recording was once that we did, I think, when I was a teenager on a computer with really bad, you know, like audio software. I would not do that again. Definitely.
Okay, good. And I guess the next question is pretty much for both of you. And, you know, if you could please answer from guitar players and saxophone players angle, how important is the room that you record in, the acoustics? Is that something you actually try to capture with the microphones? What are your thoughts there?
I let my producer take care of that too, basically.
Okay.
I do record some things at home to send, but nothing, yeah. I mean, it was interesting because, I do the full beautiful studio room that Scotty has at Love Street, and that, you know, that's a gorgeous experience with the vocal booth and whatnot. But then also, just recording in Paulie's lounge room was pretty nice. I just had lots of candles lit and made more of an atmosphere. So, I guess it had lots of life kind of surfaces, much more than the studio. But, I just like to have just a bit of space around me. Which obviously you do in the studio, but with that, we just created a bit of space. But, you know, I think it's just about, you know, a lot about where you're at as a player and, let the producer sort that out.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, thank you. Eleanor, what are your thoughts?
I guess it depends which genre of music you're recording. When I was recording classical music, I've had some really interesting experiences recording, for example, in a really old building in Italy. I think it was an old church, so there was natural reverb, which was really amazing. And that worked for that type of music. But other than that, if you want a dry room, dry environment, and then the producer can add whatever it's needed. Mm. And recently I've recorded in a studio, but a home studio, and that has been also a great experience at TK's studio because it was more homey, if you want, so less intimidating. And, you know, we could just, you know, chill, cook some food, have a tea, have breaks, play with the cat, roll on the floor. So that was, that made me feel really at home, you know.
Mm, of course. But, big shout out to TK, Tom Kelly, who was on the podcast in episode 11. So if anybody feels like rewinding and checking that again, it was a really good episode. Big shout out to TK. Okay.
Go TK.
We love you, mate. How does microphone technique translate to the stage? So I guess with the acoustic guitar, typically you would use pickups instead of a microphone on a stage, but with nylon strings, what's your trick, Felicity? How do you do that on stage?
Well, this is where I do have a magic trick.
Please share.
because... Yeah, like there's like these, they just slip through in a certain moment of time, these Fishman pickups where you can have microphones, which they're harder to find now, but it's, basically a little microphone inside the sound hole of the guitar blended with the bridge pickup. And I actually have this amazing setup of handmade Barbero pickups that there's one pickup under each string because nylons can be very touchy and it's just so clear and bassy and beautiful, but definitely like blending the two together because I mean I want more of the mic, but that can of course pose feedback issues. And I've been doing an interesting thing, which is playing a nylon guitar with like, you know, a psychedelic going off band So that is very interesting on stage sound. But recently we've just been using in-ears for foldbacks. So that has made the whole game very different. So there's no more feedback issues. Yeah, because it can't, the microphone in the guitar, it's like you don't want to put it more on the bridge pickup. You want more of the microphone. So I'm always pushing to have more of that, but it's always sitting on the edge of just going off. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And you don't want that. You moved on to in-ears. That's really interesting. Was that an easy step for you, or was it unusual at first?
Well, look, I really, like, yeah, just enjoyed it from the get-go. The first time I used them, they did cut out briefly, which was an interesting thing. But, yeah, they were pretty faultless. The guy running them knows exactly what he's doing. So, it's, yeah, I just, yeah, the last few times I've used them, I love them so much. It's like you're in this little bubble of perfect sound, which, you know, when you're, when you've played a lot of gigs in so many various places, which I have, I could not describe the variance of difference between all the different venues I've played, you know.
Yeah,
you really appreciate when you can just play and have this beautiful sound of your music exactly the way you want and be presenting like that with no distraction. I found it quite
beautiful.
Lovely.
And of course, you know, that you
I'm easy on the voice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, right. And you've got the same sound wherever you are on stage. Of course. You've got more freedom, yeah.
Exactly. You can have your guitar a little bit louder. You can have your own mix. You can mix your own. So we just mix our own ears to suit ourselves. Yeah, it's extreme. It's a game changer because I don't know. I mean, we all love to have that beautiful loud, you know, being immersed in the whole sound of the gig, which I personally love and fortunately have no ear damage or anything. But I guess over time, yeah, the loudness sometimes does start to grate on one's nerves, especially, you know, if there's feedback stuff ever happening. So, yeah, it's nice. It feels like a natural evolution for me.
Fantastic. And do you ever feel a disconnect to the audience?
Yeah, I'm just navigating that at the moment. Yeah. Once I get into it, I can really connect. But, yeah, for example, if things start to go a bit weird, or it's more like learning how to communicate with the band members, really. And, yeah, it's sort of once you sort of focus in on the audience, yep, you know what's going on. But it's definitely more tricky to just kind of yell something at a band member or say something, you know. Yeah.
Elena, do you use in-ears as well on stage?
Look, I've used them for the first time in the last couple of shows with Felicity, actually, because, yeah, our soundman had them. And, yeah, they're definitely a life game changer because, yeah, as Felicity mentioned, you can hear everything clearly. And for me, particularly the backing vocals, in ears are definitely very helpful with backing vocals. So I don't have to scream. I can hear myself. I can tune in more finely. I guess, you know, because, you know, sax and clarinet are relatively loud instruments, so I can always hear them, but the backing vocals sometimes are a bit tricky. And yeah, and I can hear everyone else, and yeah, it's been great. Yeah, I love them.
And for the saxophone on stage, do you prefer to actually have a microphone on a stand to play into, or do you like a clip microphone that always keeps its position around your instrument?
I prefer the microphone on the stand. I've tried clip microphones, but they often give feedback problems, yeah, they have the advantage, obviously, that you can move around, you can dance and all of that, which is fun. But I prefer the reliability of a stand mic. And because normally I play both sax and clarinet, that makes it easier as well. Otherwise, I would need to have two clip mics, and the clip mics on the clarinet really doesn't work that well because the clarinet has got holes on the body of the instrument. So the sound comes out through the whole instrument. You can't just clip a mic on the bell. That wouldn't work. They wouldn't capture all the harmonics.
Okay. Well, that's really, really good information. I would like to steer back to studio work, if that's okay. When you produce your albums, Felicity, do you prefer to record one instrument after the other as an overdub method? Or do you like to get the entire band together and have them all perform at the same time?
Now, this is interesting because my old band, we had a rule. We did everything live and I only overdubbed solos and extra guitars.
Oh, yeah?
But, yeah, it was really cool and they were cool. But, yeah, what I've done working with Scotty, which is my last four albums, is I like to have the bass and drums down together all the time because, yeah, it's interesting, I guess, because Scotty and I are working so closely anyway with the production that we can do whatever we want later, but it's nice to feel those two players together to just, like, knit down the bottom, and it just feels like an energetic thing to me. Of course, they're in different rooms or the bass amps in a different room or whatever, but, yeah, definitely doing the drum and bass lives. You may have to do overdubs, whatever, but getting, you know, beautiful takes of them. And then, yeah, like generally it's just then everything separate guitars. I don't know how much you've heard of my albums, but we have put layers and layers of strings and horns on a lot of things.
Horns, yeah.
Yeah, and strings as well. There's lots and lots of beds of strings underneath everything. So they're just single players. I have a cellist and a viola or violin on each album, and then whoever's playing. Really looking forward to putting Eleanor's sax on the next one. Yeah, but I mean, I love that magic of just going, oh, okay, now I can layer on more guitars. Now I can layer on more guitars, and just the synergy between Scotty and I, because we were playing a lot as a duo together initially. So we really understand each other musically. Like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, look, I can really relate to that. You know, I'm a big fan of recording as many instruments at the same time as possible. There is something about it, I can't even describe it, but it sounds better to me. Even if it's each signal, it might be less perfect by itself, but together it's better, in my opinion. But look, I might be a little bit biased here. You mentioned your next album. Where is it at and when can we expect it?
Well, there's been a bit of a curveball because the current recording is Felicity Lawless and Miscellaneous album. So I'm still launching the Symbiosis album with Black Rabbit George. We're doing our Byron launch in December. But, yeah, currently we've just finished two tracks and we're about to release a single, the first single, and, yeah, then just finalising the album over the next couple of months, I guess, month or two.
Great.
Yeah, with Eleanor and I. So we're just sort of, I don't know, deciding how much extra instrumentation we will have on there, all these sorts of things, how much we'll do live and overdubbing and, yeah, but it's pretty exciting. We'll be recording. We've done some tracks with TK. We'll be doing a lot of it with Scotty. So, yeah, should be interesting.
Sounds like you've got a fantastic team around you there. That's really good to hear.
Amazing team.
Well, I can't wait. Yeah. Please keep me up to speed once it's out.
I will.
Good. So maybe one last question to both of you individually. Musically, you know, you both play at such a really high level, but at some stage in your life, you must have been a beginner. You know, you must have started somewhere, you know, playing the first, you know.
No, that was in a previous life.
In a previous life. Look, if...
I still feel like a beginner.
Oh, come on, Felicity. You're a bit of a goddess on the guitar. You definitely are. If you could speak to...
But this is the thing that you realize with guitar. It just gets... The more you know on a guitar, the more there is to learn.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's such an interesting instrument like that.
Look, if you had the chance to speak to that person you used to be a long time ago, the beginner, another person who just picked up their instrument and just learned to strum or to play a couple of notes, what advice would you give that person?
I will tell them, trust the process and dream high. Anything is possible.
Nice. Mm. Well said. Thank you. Felicity.
I would just say to them, anything is possible. Like, you can break any song into small pieces and each piece is manageable. And I've done that my whole life. And I really appreciate that about myself. And I like to say that to people that are beginning, to just say, don't look at the whole thing, just take it into small pieces. And then you can play anything.
Into small pieces, as in just only your own part? Or can you break that down for me a bit more?
Well, I think a lot of things, like, I was really obsessed with, like, you know, some crazy stuff when I was playing piano. I loved Beethoven piano sonatas and, like, the music I like now on guitar, as well as my fun stuff and the reggae and the world fusion. I really love, you know, some wild classical pieces and flamenco, which is really challenging. Like, it takes a lot of time. My guitar teacher used to say to me, you know, if you want to be any good as a classical player, you need to be playing 8 hours a day. And I was just like, well,
oh, wow.
I don't think I've got the, yeah, that's what he was doing. It was wild. And it was like, you know, just to maintain repertoire, to, I think, memorize that much stuff. And then, yeah. So it's like, what else do you do? So, yeah, but a lot of those big pieces you look at and go, wow, like, how could anyone ever play that? But when you break it into the little parts, they're all quite manageable. You just do one little chunk at a time, the smallest chunk, you know?
Yeah, got it. So you take a complex piece and break it into small little chunks of a few notes at a time.
Yeah.
Cool. And then you put it all together. That makes a lot of sense. That's a really good way to look at it.
Mm.
Nice one. Last question for today. People who are now curious to find out more about your band, Felicity, where would you direct them to? What's the best place to find your music?
At felicitylawless.com.au, and also on Facebook and YouTube, just under Felicity Lawless. And there's heaps of different cool things. I'm so proud of all the beautiful people I play with on there. My band is on there. Lots of stuff with Eleanor, lots of stuff with Black Rabbit. Yeah. And there's also things on Spotify.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
I will put all the links in the show notes. So if you listen to this episode and if you're curious to find out what Felicity and Ellen are up to, and I go straight to the show notes, scroll down, click the link and check out the website. And if you can, buy their records. If there's any merch available, buy t-shirts. Have you got t-shirts available?
Yes, with a beautiful crow escaping its cage.
Fantastic. Oh, that's a beautiful image. I like that. Eleanor, Felicity, thank you so much. I really appreciate all the wisdom you share today. So thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Jan. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Thank you so much. And can't wait to hear all the beautiful things you're doing.
Good. Thank you. This was Felicity Lawless and Eleanor Marcigot, also known as Miss Elenius, on the Production Talk podcast. Thank you two so much for sharing all this wisdom with our listeners, and I really appreciate having you on board. So please go to the show notes, scroll down and click on the links, check them out on social media and buy their records. That would be much appreciated. As we finish up this episode, I'd also like to tell you about Shelley Brown's podcast, Singing Lessons for No One. Shelley and I worked together in the studio just yesterday, and as a singer, she is absolutely phenomenal, and she's got so much valuable information to share in her podcast. So Singing Lessons for No One on any podcast player, check it out. It's super valuable and it's a lot of fun. If you want to reach out to me, you can of course do so via my website mixartist.com.au. That's a place where I offer online mixdown services for anybody worldwide. as well as studio recording services on the east coast of Australia. This studio is mainly suited for band recordings and to record in our rhythm sections all together across our three live rooms. So if you need any help, please reach out to me. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And that's all for today. You folks have a fantastic week. I shall speak to you again next week. Bye for now.